You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, serving Philadelphia, southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And if you are tuned in from those areas, I ask that you go to your telephone and invite a family member and friend to tune in. If you're listening on the internet, email a friend and ask them to tune in by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and clicking on the Listen Live link, which is on the left-hand side. Well, it's springtime, and really the weather is starting to get nice here in Philadelphia. We have sun. We had some rainy days, but now we're back in beautiful weather. And with me today in studio is Dr. Larkin Connolly, and I'm sure he's going to give us the full treatment today. In fact, maybe we can have a Larkin wish list coming up one of these days where we'll be able to discuss a few things that we should and could be doing and we're helping to make happen. Also, we have Mark Andel, who is the founder of Made in America Store, and I want to hear how he made out in Washington, D.C. And Rich Logis is on travel today, so he will not be with us, but we wish him the very best. But first, Mark, I want to ask you, are you ready to run for president?
Good morning, guys and listeners. Yeah, Mike, we had a, you know, the movie's just doing awesome. It released last April 1st on video on demand, so movies on demand, you can see it under documentaries, the American-made movie. But the Capitol experience was just awesome. We flew in Thursday. And it was actually right underneath, if you go to the Capitol, right before you get there, there's a visitor center that's underground. And it ends up the theater we actually screened the movie in was actually close to being under the steps of the Capitol. So it was an awesome experience. I met Paul Tonko, a congressman out of Schenectady, New York. And then I met Mike Michaud out of Maine. And then Senior Whip Congressman Steny Hoyer, who actually started the Made in America initiative, was there, and they were all awesome. You know, it was just a great experience. Showed the 90-minute film. We had a question-answer board at the end, me, myself, Nathan McGill, and Vincent Vittorio, the film directors, and then one granola manufacturer, and then Scott Paul from Alliance of American Manufacturing. And the audience asked questions, but it was awesome to see the movie there. It ended up being our four-year anniversary date of the Made in America store, which was I never really put together till that morning. But seeing the American-made movie and the change that it can make and the great questions that were asked after, you know, people talked about family. They seen closeness in family, the emotions that happen, where our jobs went and how they got there. It raises such awareness. They like to see me tinkering on things and then developing and becoming, you know, kind of living the American dream.
You know,
Mike, it did many, many things, and NBC did a clip. Right when I landed, they asked me to come over, and they did a clip on manufacturing, and my godson, that's a C-17 pilot in Washington that night, said, "Uncle Mark, you were on the, you know, NBC, you know, supporting American manufacturers, and also they mentioned the movie. I think things are really getting there." So great, great experience. Awesome to be in Washington. Unfortunately, a lot of these congressmen I met were great. They get it. But they admitted, even their administration, there's no game plan. There's no playbook. There's a problem.
It's been the problem all along, Mark. It really has.
Yes, they found ways to tax and worry about taxing and make sure the coffers are filled, but not how to employ the people so they can pay the taxes.
Yeah, you know, and Steny Hoyer, when he got up, he did a great speech, and he thanked us for the movie, thanked the directors for putting together such a film that can make change and raise awareness. But he admitted, you know, he coached basketball for years. You always have a plan. You always have a playbook, lose or win, but you have a plan. And he said, none of us do. We don't know where we're going.
Did he or anyone else offer any kind of suggestions?
You know, they talked about their initiative and what they've done. They talked about the lack of communication in Washington, and they're frustrated. They love the movie because the movie being seen helps the consumer and people can play their part. I personally left, and I love the experience. I love the day and, you know, being at the Capitol. But I thought, boy, a lot of lip service in Washington. People have to step up. We talk about voting. We talk about what you buy, what you purchase, and how you can make change yourself. And that's what I left with. My store is an action plan. Our radio show here is an action plan. That's what you want. That's people got to get involved.
So since the 1900s, Mark, there's been great disparity between the Democrats and the Republicans, obviously. And the way they vote, the disparity is absolutely widened. And there are fewer senators and congressmen voting independent of their parties. They all vote the party line now. That's why nothing can get done. The, you know, immigration reform and tax reform were two of the biggest items that faced Congress this year. And they can't get out of their own way. It's too steep of a climb because they can't break down the disparity between the two.
And Democrats, Larkin, and I think you ran into it when you were in Washington, and I think I ran into it too talking to these gentlemen that do care. I actually met it, and it gave me hope, but there's only a few of them. But then when they admit that their own parties can't, administration can't get along or talk or communicate and there's no plan, wow, you leave like, are you kidding me? They're running the country.
It's enormous. And they keep on talking about jobs. Jobs this, jobs that. Let's create jobs. We need more jobs. Why don't we have jobs? That's not even the question. The question is, why are we not starting small businesses? Why are we not motivating people both through the help that they can find at places like SCORE and the SBDCs all over the country? Why are we not providing that guidance, and why is the government not prepared to give them the capital that they need to start the businesses? There is no access to capital right now, and until there is, small businesses are going to have a hell of a road to hoe.
You know, I want to mention, as you're speaking about that, right now in the United States of America, we have 29 million registered businesses. Yet, when the tax forms go out to the businesses, there's never a line in there that says, do you expect to employ more people this year? Second question, is there anything the government can do for you to help you employ more people? Nothing. They tell you the taxes are due on such and such a day. If you are late on your taxes, you will pay a penalty, but nothing how to help you employ people and make America's economy a success
again.
Mike,
was that 29 million?
29 million,
million registered,
registered businesses in the United States. And that's the small stores, and that includes the big stores, the right. Manufacturers, the you name it, lawyers and everyone else. I would say that there are 10 million businesses in the United States of America that have 25 to 50 employees, because they were focusing on that during the healthcare discussions. And they were saying, well, those with over 50 are gonna have to do this and under 50 will do that. Why they focused on that. I don't understand why government got involved in healthcare when they can't get involved in getting jobs. If you have jobs, you have more money circulating in the system. People would be able to pay more toward their health care. Without a job, they're depending on more of these rebates and things like that from the government.
It's not quite that. It can be that simple. I mean, that's a pretty rudimentary look at it. Listen, health care is broken. We all know that. The issue today is we have Obamacare to deal with. Is that the right answer? I don't know. I have my opinions, but my opinions aren't important right now. What's important now is what does Congress, what does Senate, what does the House do to repair Obamacare and make it work? If you look back at Social Security, when Social Security passed back in the Roosevelt days, it wasn't right the first time around. Good Lord, they played with that until 1959 before they really felt like they had Social Security right. Whether you agree with Social Security or not, whether you agree with that entitlement or not being run by the government and not private industries, but beside the fact we have Social Security and we've learned over the years to make it work. Unfortunately, nobody was around to slap the hands of senators and congressmen that started to raid the Social Security surpluses and borrow money from, you know, that. Oh, it's a mess.
You know, Larkin, in this day of modern communication, we should be able to get an email out to every business asking them the question, how can we help you bring more people into your workforce? That should be the base, most basic question.
Well, it starts with more sales. You have to build more. You have to sell more. And until you do that, and Mark is walking proof of that.
Absolutely.
You know, guys, I'm living and breathing what we're going through right now. And we talk about skilled work and our needs. And Larkin, you're helping on Entrepreneur. And Mike, you help with the radio show. We talk about it, but I've got more work than I can handle with General Welding. And I'm blessed with that. First time in 5 years, but I cannot find skilled workers. It's becoming such a problem that I'm actually going to probably lose the work I have, and I'm trying to train, but by the time I get them trained, I'll have lost the work that I waited for, and it's a vicious circle. It's my biggest problem. I texted and called probably 20 people yesterday trying to get welders, and I need an inspector, but you know, I talked to a school teacher last night. You know, the system's changed. She said, I had a student come up to me, and she said, hey, what did you become, Joe? You know, what are you doing in life? He said, oh, I'm just a plumber. And she goes, you ain't just a plumber. People need plumbers. But, you know, you can't look at, you know, the school systems had looked at these plumbers and welders and people that work with their hands like they were doing drugs. Oh, you can't do that. We are living the major problem. The sequel to the movie, I talked in Washington to Scott Paul, is going to be the skilled work issue.
Excellent.
We must change today.
Excellent. I think that's a demonstration that has to be seen for what it really is. Because I will tell you, Mark, and you know better than I can tell you because you're living that every day. The people who have those types of job skills have long-lasting jobs.
You know, education has just let us down, and for a variety of reasons. And it's very difficult to point the finger in any one direction. All I know is it's irrelevant, and the kids that are coming out of high school right now aren't prepared for much of anything. And until we correct that, you couple that with a society, with a commercial society, that almost tells you that if you don't make $1 million, you really are a little bit of a lesser citizen.
Absolutely.
Plumbers are lesser citizens. Bricklayers are lesser citizens. Steve fitters are lesser citizens. That's not the case at all. It's not even close to the case.
But isn't it sad, you know, we're talking about Washington, D.C., and if they're going to give us more lip service, we need action today. I need welders today. It's going to stall any positive hope for the economy. You know, we need to get on this and get action or try something, like you said it, even with the health care, try it. Let's figure it out. Let's see what works for us.
You know, Mark, as you are saying, you're bidding for more jobs and more contracts. What happens when you don't have enough people to fill the jobs that you have?
So yeah, that's what's happened now. So since 2009, we did defense trailer work. So we were just blessed with an order back because when the administration unplugged one plug, it unplugged 100 lights on the Christmas tree, right? So all different jobs were lost. Well, we finally, through the sequester, through the fiscal cliff, through the shutdown, my job, they kept telling me, well, maybe next month. Well, now we just landed 6 of these units that we build, defense trailers. And then we landed, you know, oil mining just popped back. We got a spike, and the winter was good to us. So it causes me not, you know, to go from 20, you know, 10 welders, I need 20, 25. And the problem is in a pool, you used to be able to pull that, you know, from your area. West New York would have them people. There's a lot of unemployment. But unfortunately, the guys, they're already somewhere. They've left the area. They've moved. They've, they've passed away. The new generation isn't quite there. I'm getting kids that are young, went to schools, but I'm not sure what they did in the school because they don't. It's amazing to me what they've been taught. It's not a great school. They don't have a great curriculum for welding or mechanical. Or I'm looking for an inspector. So it's quite a problem I'm living. So once you find this work, Mike, you've got to answer your purchase order and hit your deadline, or else they're going to go somewhere else, and it might be out of state. But there's a customer always has another answer. You can't say, well, geez, good luck. You ain't going to find nobody to do that. And that's what my guys sometimes think. But customers are my boss. They don't wait. They will get their customer answered. So it's really frustrating for me living, and we talk about it every week. We've talked about it the last year, but really just not being able to find. We're running every ad you can. We're training, but training takes time. But these kids, a lot of them, and I remember the one guy, and they can't, you know, I talked to a teacher, the kid don't even know how to hold a hammer in his hand. His hand's not even made for it. You know, it doesn't conform no more. So
you're
we're working
right.
with kids.
You're right. You know, I just had a very bad experience with Verizon again, and I want to tell you, just going through this system of asking this one and that one, who are you? What is your name? Where are you from? And I ask all questions. They're not equipped to do this job. They're not properly trained. They're like robots. In fact, two people sounded almost like they were a recording. I had to ask, are you alive? You just seem to be reciting something from a script. And that's what it is. We don't have any people really eager to be the best that they can be.
Yeah, at best, they're parts replacers. And Larkin, I know you came up similar to me, and you worked with your hands and different things. But a lot of these, they're just parts replacers. They don't really know. They don't have drive and, you know, that work ethic we always talk about and coming in on time. And it's really frustrating to finally land work that you can't handle.
Now, Mark, I want to have a question for you. Now, you're up in Buffalo, New York. Is this a nationwide problem with the welders and other skilled workers?
Yeah, I do see that because I actually talked to Scott Paul at Alliance of American Manufacturing a little about this. He even mentioned the iron workers get mad because they're bringing them in from South Korea or Mexico, you know, or Mexicans. But you know what? There's none here. You know, that's the truth. And he said that's sad. We're always fighting the fight. But they don't have enough here that we're trained and experienced, that we're taught to go into that field. So I see that from, you know, Scott Paul handles Alliance of American Manufacturing for the whole country, and all the steel mills in the country contribute a percentage of their sales to keep that Alliance of American Manufacturing opened. So it isn't a tax dollar, and I do like that. But, you know, also I reach out, I've got, you know, people in Texas and things that everybody needs welders, hands-on people, workers, just laborers. You know, we're even talking about guys to do the basics. So it is not just a West New York shortage. It is throughout the country, absolutely.
And it doesn't necessarily hurt to have a college degree, to have a bachelor's degree, a liberal arts degree from any one of the colleges in the area, and then turn around and go into welding. You know, you're still working with your mind. You know, I don't.
It's very helpful, Larkin, to have that 2-year degree and know how to do, because a lot of my burning outfits are CNC, or now you need welder quals and welder certifications, and a lot of that's produced on computers. So you need computer skills, you know, and that's a lot you can grab from college, even a 2-year degree. And a lot of places won't even let you in the door without a 2-year degree. You know, you can't even get in. So. Yeah, I never down college. I just, like you said, you could go get 2 years and then get into welding. Have a skill. Like they say, if you teach a man to fish, you know, if you give them fish, they eat for the day. If you teach them to fish, they're set for life, right?
But that's right. You know, and Mark, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that a few elected officials were there. Did they offer any type of suggestions after they saw the film?
You know, they complimented us and the movie crew for, you know, doing this and the change that we've made as regular people. There wasn't a lot there, and that was kind of what I left with, too. They were good people. They believe. They knew the one, Paul Tonka, unbelievable, loves the film, the emotions of mine, my family, and what the film does. And his parents were immigrants, and they worked 7 days a week, and it could be second shift, third shift. But he said they had that drive, and that's what he liked. But there's no real – I just feel a frustration with them, too, where they don't know, you know, how to go forward, other than we're all suggesting the people can make change theirself, you know, we the people.
You know, I'm glad I brought that question up, because it just, you know, shows again that the responses that I am getting from our people here in Pennsylvania is the same thing. We can't go against the caucus leaders. We don't want to introduce legislation because it's really up to the higher ups to do that. So it's all seemed to be, everybody seems to be riding on a merry-go-round that's just never stops.
Right. And it's communication gap is what they told me. Same things I see in my business. I mean, I always talk about you got to be disciplined, you got to be focused. Communication is the number one thing in a weld shop. You got to make sure the rumors don't start, and you got to stop the rumor mill, and you got to, you know, stay focused on your business. But that's what I see leaving from them. If they're not talking to each other, the two of them didn't even know they're both on the same Made in America initiative. You know, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's like that. One of the senators went into the wrong hearing last week and started questioning the people at the hearing, and then one of his staffers went over and handed him a paper and said, "You're at the wrong hearing. You're asking the wrong questions." Did you see that on the news? I thought that was.
I did not. But you know what? When you're in Washington, you're in the Capitol building. You're showing a movie that makes sense. It's just frustrating to leave. This is that's kind of our last chance. That's our hope. That's we need these guys. I don't know how they fix it. They got to get together today.
As Rich says, that's why we have to start getting the people out to vote.
Yeah.
And as I will tell you 1,000 times over, when people blame the Republicans are doing this, the Democrats are doing this, the independents are doing this, I say, I don't want to hear that nonsense anymore, because the taxpayers are from the Green Party. They're paying their green dollars, and they want to know what the hell the Democrats, the Republicans, and everybody else is doing to administer this country and get it back on its feet.
Yeah, one thing that Steny Hoyer, now he started to make it in America initiative, which is really neat. You know, he said, hey, we made it in America, let's make it in America. But he said, you know, one thing with Made in America, when he goes and talks around the country, he said Republicans, Democrats, independents, whatever else, union, everybody likes and kind of grabs Make it in America makes sense. And I love when he said that, because it's true. When I opened the store, it aligned everybody.
Yep.
I mean, everybody grabs hold. Nobody bucks it. Nobody's like, nah, that don't make sense. But he said, no matter who I say that in front of, they grab hold. So why can't we have our president talk about it more? Go out and buy Support Small Business Weekend, buy Made in America products. Why not? It's what it needs.
Mark, and also Dr. Larkin, I'm going to pause to acknowledge a few of our sponsors today. And we'll begin with saying last weekend was a very successful weekend for our small businesses. And some of the local businesses have said that people are coming out. They are acknowledging. Many of the local newspapers have gone out of their way to promote the Small Business Weekend. We've even placed some ads in there. So we're trying to move forward as quickly as we can. The first portion of our broadcast is being presented by Dr. Eva Machak, and she has two dental offices in Philadelphia to serve you. I encourage you to give her a buzz so you'll smile, and it'll be the best smile that you can offer. Give her a call at 215-739-2787. And the Net Cost Market is located at 117,001. And that is in Northeast Philadelphia, just off Byberry Road and Bustleton Avenue. Many people have been stopping there and said they found it to be a great shopping experience. And of course, they offer meats, groceries, dairy products, sweets, and there's a European touch in every aisle. I encourage you to stop by the Net Cost Market as soon as possible. And when you're there and at every supermarket, make sure you look for the name of Giorgio. Mr. Jan Majewski, CEO and president of Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928, thanks all of you for supporting the American workers' movement. And also best wishes from Mr. Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, who's located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond. For all of your legal needs, give him a call at 215-739-8521. And Mr. Chester Kshanowski, the owner of Sereno's Auto Body Shop and Collision Center, has two locations to serve you. One is at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. For more information, you can contact Sereno's Auto Body at 215-535-6606. And also, Polka Deli has all of those special items that you will be wanting for your Świętsunka, for your Easter table. They're located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, offering great Polish-style meats and deli products, as well as imported products from Poland and many American-made products as well. You can give Polka Deli a call at 215-634-3750. And Martin Bednarek, who is the president of Washington Savings Bank, also thanks everyone for supporting the Buy American Made campaign and reminds you that they have five locations in Philadelphia to serve you. Whenever you stop by the Washington Savings Bank, where you go, make sure you let them know that you hear about them here on 860. And if you need more information, give them a call at 215-698-9400. And I also have Stephen Smolchinski here with me, and he has a few advertisements.
The staff at Pat's Auto Tags would like to wish all of you a very happy Easter season. For over 33 years, Pat's has been serving the Philadelphia area for all of your licensing, registration, titling, specialty plates, and much more, and all of the needs that you would possibly have. Pat's Auto Tags has three convenient locations to serve you. They are located at 2536 East Allegheny Avenue on the corner of Belgrade and Allegheny in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. They have a direct link with the DMV and PennDOT. They also have two locations, one at 5501 Harbison Avenue and 400 East Allegheny Avenue, which is C and Allegheny Avenue. They're open Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more information, give them a call at 215-427-1832 or stop in and tell them we sent you. And also, Phil's Hairstyling, located on the corner of Richmond and Orthodox Streets in the Bridesburg section of Philadelphia, is among the best in the area. Their experienced, friendly staff are there to serve you 6 days a week. As soon as you walk through the door, you're going to feel like family. Whether you're there for your special day, such as a wedding, a prom, or that special date, or just your regular hairstyle, Phil's will do it all. Specializing in all types of hairstyles for men, women, and children, they guarantee you will keep coming back again and again. Waxing services are also available. Call them today at 215-535-8997 to make an appointment, or walk in at 4401 Richmond Street and tell them we sent you for your 10% off discount.
Oh, I like to hear that 10% discount. I have to send Larkin over there as soon as possible. I have to hit the place. Well, ladies and gentlemen, whenever you shop at any of our advertisers, make sure you let them know that you hear about them here on American Workers Radio or on the Polish American Radio Program Network, aired 7 days a week here on 860 AM Radio. I'd like to turn now our focus back to the 29 million registered jobs. And Larkin, if you knew you were Steny Hoyer or anybody else, the President of the United States, and you knew that we had 29 million registered companies, small, medium, and large, what would you say you would like to suggest that our hierarchy in Washington do to contact them?
Well, let me make one thing perfectly clear right away. I don't think anybody that listens to me on this show has any idea what my politics are, but I will give you a hint. I will not, under any circumstance, be Steny Hoyer.
Okay.
No, thank you. So, sorry. You know, I talk all the time. One of the fundamental problems, we talk about education, we talk about lack of access to capital and all of the rest of those problems. One of the things that can happen right away is to rebuild or reinvigorate consumer confidence. We keep on talking about the 6% of people that aren't working. That means 94% of the people, either part-time or full-time, are working, are generating income and have money, and we're not spending it. And we are in a consumer society, so it really begs for us to be spending. So what I would ask Washington to do is to eliminate the uncertainty, to create a new element of confidence that everybody can stand behind. You know, there's a widespread view in business that the healthcare bill makes it burdensome to hire, and it underscores how politically uncertain that this bill has made it for all of the small businesses. It's that uncertainty,
yes,
in the Obamacare. It's not the bill itself. It's not the cost necessarily. It's the uncertainty. And if Obamacare does play a part in the election in November. It will not be because people don't want Obamacare. It will be because of the uncertainty. It will be because of the complete lack of confidence that Washington knows what they're doing. So they've got to build that back. The National Federation of Independent Business People asked small businesses across the country what they thought the biggest problem was in their businesses at this point, and they almost universally said government requirements and red tape created out of Washington. So all of this inability for the Democrats to get along with the Republicans, this inability to address legislation, I'm having a heck of a time this morning, address legislation about tax reform and immigration reform, all is creating this uncertainty that has everybody frightened, from the guy who has the jobs to the people who are spending the money that would create the jobs. So,
and you're right, Larkin, and you know what really concerns me is that for 30 years there is no policy in place for creating jobs in America. There's no chairman that's really visible in the United States that I could say, Larkin, let's call him in or let's go see him in Washington. There's really no one that has made any major statement. There's no one that has brought 1 million jobs to America through their efforts. It's just not there.
And that's like, on both sides of the aisle.
Both sides.
I hear there was more incentives in the day to take business out of the country than there was to keep it in.
Yes, there was. You know, as Rich Loges had mentioned many times, you were almost paid to take jobs out.
Isn't that sad? You know, if you think about it. And when we talk about health insurance, I'm just going through that again, too, with the company, of course, and always looking because I lose a couple people because what they're looking for is better health care now. I've lost two guys in a couple weeks. One was a truck driver. One, you know, and I asked why, and they're looking for better health care. The wage was the same, similar, you know. But these were good, long-term, trustworthy employees, and you hate to lose anybody. When I figure out my medium row, you know, my top plan's Aqua Blue through Blue Cross Blue Shield. That's $12,380 a year we split between our employee, which is a ton of money. When you break that down, our medium plan, which is a little less total cost, comes down to $5.25 an hour. That's a great chunk.
So that's exactly right.
If the affordable healthcare plan worked, and good or bad, even like Larkin said, let's work with it. If there's good, I would be using it. If I could save, or my employee was told, hey, you go get your own health insurance, I don't want the responsibility, and he came back, I've got it, it don't cost you nothing, I will share, if not give, that increase, that $5.25 an hour to him, which would cause more disposable income for that employee. So this is a problem we need to solve. Now, I just don't see where it's helping, working. Nobody can answer my questions.
And they also... And a little bit off the subject, they talk about, government talks about jobs, we've got to create jobs, we need more jobs. And just recently in Philadelphia, Destination Maternity, a manufacturer of sorts over here on Spring Garden, announced that they were picking up and moving to New Jersey. Now, does this affect Made in America? No, but it severely affects Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
In that they are moving to New Jersey, and they are taking with them 600 manufacturing jobs.
600, wow.
600 manufacturing jobs moving to New Jersey. And where is the editorial content coming out of government in Philadelphia over this
In Larkin, that's 600 middle-class people that actually spend their dollars around town.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's what people miss.
I wonder what's going to happen to the restaurants in the area and lunch trucks and everybody that.
That's right. They moved the economy from Philadelphia to New Jersey with those 600 people.
And the government
with the spouse,
is.
It's 1,200, then it multiplies to 2,000. You're probably talking about 2,000 to 4,000 people with their families.
Exactly. Yeah. Just the trickle down effect. And I hate to use that because it's a Republican term, but it really plays a part. And where are we editorially on this? We're now talking about what we're going to do with the 8.5 to 10 acres that they're vacating. Somewhere along the line, I would call a meeting in my little office and say, how the hell did this happen?
Yes.
How did we lose 600 manufacturing jobs, and how could we have stopped it?
Exactly.
How could we have stopped it,
right?
Is the most important thought in that, because there is no committee that I know of. I'm talking about in the state or the federal government or even in the cities, that as soon as a company is having some kind of a problem, maybe they had a downturn because of the economy, there's no one that goes in there as ambassadors and says, how can we help you? We don't want to, we'll give you less taxes if you can show us honestly that that is why you are having some struggling times. We'll give you less taxes, but keep those jobs here. Keep the people in the area so that the restaurants and the stores and the parking lots and everything else will be filled. It doesn't make any kind of sense. It's just like I mentioned a few weeks ago, and I'm going to include this again in my commentary. It was announced last week that 29% of all new jobs in America are now part-time jobs, mainly because people want to avoid the health care issue. And that's very unfortunate.
Or it's a second job, probably, too.
It's a second job, but it's a lot of part-timers. Two part-time jobs still does not equal one job with benefits. And I asked two very well-known elected officials, I said, could you please help me with this report on the monthly jobs report? I said, can you tell me right now how many full-time jobs we have in the USA? Well, you can find that on the debt clock. How many actual part-time jobs do we have? Are they young people, middle-aged, older people, people who are still in school and need work permits to work? Is there, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has to have those, yet they don't want to put it on one report because it would really terrify the American people to know what's happening in America. We're moving toward being more of a service-oriented and part-time service-oriented economy, which can't continue. And then every month, we have people that retire. They're being replaced. Some are not being replaced because the companies simply don't have the money and they don't want to go into another whole operation where they have to worry about health care and matching Social Security and FICA and the whole deal. And then we have no way of finding out how many jobs were actually lost. Just like Larkin is saying, one job group of 600 moved from Philadelphia to New Jersey. How many jobs are moving out of the country to Mexico, to Canada, to foreign shores? We have no way of showing those statistics to the people. I think if we had those statistics, it may wake up more people and they would be behind the American-made movement.
You raise awareness. That's what I love about the movie. That's what I love about what we're doing, right? But what if there was a plan or something we agreed on, we made, where manufacturers in the United States that we know headquarter here but ship all the labor overseas, what if it was mandated somehow that worked for both, a win-win, where 25% or 50% of the labor had to stay here as a country? So we get to that 50-50 balance trade always. But we give incentives to keep it here. We work with the business together with government and require them to keep a portion here, but we've got to make it where it's feasible and, you know, the perceived value is there. And it's a quality product, of course.
You know, Henry once mentioned something to me about a year ago. He said, no company should be allowed to bring stuff here untariffed unless they have at least the same amount of jobs in America that
right.
they have overseas. That would be the 50-50 balance, and you'd have no argument. And the
what
people in America have a choice. I'll buy this portion of the product made in America, or I'll buy that portion of the product made overseas.
And you actually have to support your country.
Yeah, Mark, one of the things that I suspect that you see, you felt down in D.C., I certainly did when I was down there, and it absolutely drives me crazy. There is this feeling out of the Congress, out of our federal government, that And I want to tell them, I want to send them a letter and tell them, listen, distinctly, you cannot help the poor by destroying the rich. That's not the answer. Period.
Like an entitlement feeling, absolutely. You know, or yeah, the way that shrinking middle class is actually, you know, happening now, has happened over the 30 years, right? But exactly, you can't, because even in the movie where the lady says, even if one rich person bought 70 cars, or seven cars, it's not 70. You need, just like you're talking, Larkin, with the 600 employees leaving your area, them are the people we need to support everything in that spider web of supply system, you know.
Right.
You know, Mark, I was going to ask you, mentioned a few elected officials saw the movie. Is there any way that the rest of them will be able to see it?
Yeah, you know, we were hoping the theater probably had 50 people, you know, and we were hoping more. There was other congressmen, both parties, whatever. But we were hoping more. We sent a couple copies. Nathan, you know, the film producers gave out. We've told them where they can see it. We're praying that they keep seeing it. You want that buzz to go, and that's why we want to talk that up. The more people see it, the better. They do, when you see it, it changes them, and it really shows. I love it because even a sixth or eighth grader can kind of get that movie. You know, you can kind of get a feeling. And the nice thing with the movie, I did talk to the producers. They did reduce it to a 60-minute movie. They had to take some things out. They set it up two reasons for that. 60-minute is going to be for a TV episode. 60-minute is going to be for international sales. And 60-minute is going to be for the classroom. And we talked about one of the questions when we were on a question-answer board. They said, geez, how do we get that in our schools? And I said, Nathan, this is you. He said, actually, that's why the movie was made, to get a curriculum. We already broke it down to a 60-minute and a 30-minute training movie, and they'll be, you know, taught, you know, above, you know, with the movie. So I think that's the educational side. If we can get this in our school systems and get these kids, you know, wake up everybody and raise awareness, and they go, wow, you know. I just watched a movie, you know, called Food, Inc. You might have seen the documentary, guys. And it really says, wow, about McDonald's and how our farms, it's not farms, you know, it's factories. They put a farm picture of this nice old day the way it was, but it's really not where your chicken's coming from, you know. So that type of thing, the documentary is a lot of power.
You know, as we're talking about Washington, I want to remind all of our listeners and supporters that there is a link on the very bottom of AmericanWorkersRadio.com that gives you a link right to your elected officials. All you have to do is put in your zip code, and it'll give you the elected officials, whether it's United States senators, representatives, governors. I really think it's important that everyone go out of their way to call their elected officials. An election's coming up in a short period of time, and let those people start saying, I'm hearing from constituents about jobs and all this sort of thing. I mean, just like they did in Pennsylvania, Senator Stack introduced the National Small Business Weekend initiative, and of course it's been picked up by many of the local areas. And also the Representative Cohen, he also introduced it in the House of Representatives in Pennsylvania. It passed unanimously. In city council, they're promoting it. In fact, it was good to see some of the city council people having those posters on their sites that say Philadelphia supports National Small Business Weekend. Those are the kinds of things that will help alert people that we have to support one another. Can you hold on, gentlemen? I have a few more people that I would like to announce as our sponsors, including Michael Steinman, attorney at law, and he reminds you that he has two offices in Philadelphia. One is at 17th and JFK Boulevard, and in the Northeast at 8510 Bustleton Avenue. Michael Steinman speaks English and Polish and is there to assist you with all legal matters. Give him a call at 215-564-1866. And also, for all of your auto, home, and in life insurance needs, you can contact Karen Janod at 215-862-5490. Don't hesitate to find out about her prices. She's a State Farm agent and a very, very wonderful lady to deal with. And also, Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the PNA, the Polish National Alliance, wants to thank everyone for supporting American Workers Radio and the Buy American Made campaign, and remind you that the PNA is there offering life insurance plans, traditional IRAs, and so much more. Give them a call. They're a national organization located in all 50 states. Give them a call at 1-800-621-3723. And also, remember, Net Cost Market is located at 117,001 in Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. When you stop by, they also offer the Net Cost Club card, which will save you even more money. You can pick them up at the service desk at Net Cost Market. And Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, attorney at law, is available to handle all of your legal matters. Give her a call at 215-423-4824. And also, I want to make sure everybody smiles nicely. I mean, we have to see everybody's beautiful smiles over the summer. And if you'd like to have a good checkup and an honest opinion, I encourage you to call Dr. Vojimir Zin of Everest Dental. He'll check out your teeth, and he'll make sure that your smile is even better than before. Give him a call at 215-671-0188. And if you are planning to do some travel anywhere in the USA or around the world, Polish American Travel Service is there to assist you. They're located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue. That's at Tilton and Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is good to hear positive things. I want to thank Walt Jakubowski also, who was our guest last week. And he's been in the field of education for a number of years, and people enjoyed what he has to say. We'll be looking forward to seeing Walt in the future. And of course, we miss our great buddy Rich Logis today, and we want to wish him the very best as he does his traveling around. He's a very special guy, and we will have a special Rich Logis guest on next Wednesday's broadcast. And I know that Rich will be ready, willing, and able to make sure that our guest is well received. Also, when you are on our site, remember there are several links that I'd like you to take a look at, and one of them is AmeriLoop. The other is Gas Buddy. Greg Lutzkowski would like to invite you to check out Gas Buddy. You know, the gas is going up so much, up and down. It's really hurting our economy. We have to do something about that. And also, Go4USA. Mike Sessions would like you to check out his website. And also, Made in USA with Marcy Gaber. Do check out these sites and spread the word. And of course, you can see Mark Andel's site by going to the link, Made in America Store. You can check out some stuff that is going to be available to you on the internet. And of course, now that the great weather is here, why not plan a trip to Niagara Falls, New York, where Mark has his store, and also in Elma, New York. And do you have anything you'd like to add?
Well, while you're in historic Philadelphia, come on down to the Polish Cultural Center Museum, 308 Walnut Street, Philadelphia, 19106.
And you
come
know,
on down. Admission is free.
It's free. And boy, now that the summer season is getting closer and closer, we'll be getting tourists from all over the world.
I hope so.
And I want to see, maybe we could get some of those bus groups that Mark went out to see a few months ago to come to historic Philadelphia, and then we'll push them over to you, Mark, there in Buffalo and in Niagara Falls.
I actually think you have that backwards. Mark is the one that's getting busloads. He should push them our way.
Push them our way. We get a good number of buses in Philadelphia every day. In fact, we do try very hard to welcome them. But I think those dealers are going to also have to start promoting your place in Niagara Falls. And also, for anyone who's looking to go into a business, you want to be counseled on your business plan, Larkin Connolly has his link on the front page of American Workers Radio. And I think it's time for everybody to consider. If you have a talent, you have a work ethic, and you'd like to go into some kind of a business venture, and you need some advice, Larkin Connolly's group and SCORE Philadelphia would certainly be very, very pleased to help you out. It's not better to ask a question than not ask a question. Better to have an answer than to wonder if something should or could be done. So don't hesitate to contact us. And by the way, you can also email me all of your comments and suggestions, send it to michael@americanworkersradio.com. Well, Mark, you were mentioning that you had part of the film was reduced to 1 hour. Would we be able to get that? What you said earlier was very interesting, and it reminded me of what happened in Philadelphia. When we showed the film in Philadelphia, that was on September the 11th, we did have a question in session after the film was shown, and I was really pleased at what the people had to say. If I could get a copy of the 1 hour, I would even be able to do something like that with the tourists when they come in. Sometimes tourists have a little time on their hands, and if I advertise them Made in America movie, it might be an opportunity for me to promote that as well.
Yeah, I will get you a copy, and I heard the 60-minute is even faster. It kind of works real well, too. And I would like to say Niagara Falls, you just mentioned, we did open Tuesday. Yesterday, we pulled it off. We were supposed to open next the 15th because it's seasonal, but we did pull it off. They've got a new Native American Indian show up there. And I would like to credit you, Mike. You caused a bus to come up here. We scheduled it last week. It's coming up in June from your area.
Yeah, Teresa Domanowski and her gang of travelers are definitely coming up.
Yeah, very, very nice.
And, you know, I want to make sure everybody knows, you're on what floor of that building?
The second floor. I'm glad. Thanks for bringing that up, Mike. We had trouble last year. I just put new graphics up, new arrows, and it is the second floor of One Niagara Building, a big glass building with 9 floors. Our logos are 50 foot wide, so it looks like the whole building's ours, but we are the second building.
Well, you know, last year, a few of the groups that went up told me that they saw this big sign on the building, on the side of the building, and they thought that it was the whole building was the store.
Yeah, and we don't want to deceive some customers, so I apologize for any. We put the big, large, you know, they put them logos up for me, and they love it, and it's positive for Niagara Falls. And but second floor, and now this year we've got a lot better signage explaining that, and a lot more product selection. And just the first night we opened, Tuesday, people love it. You know, I mean, if you know, they get it. It's like the movie. If you watch it, you get it. You got to keep it in front of them. You got to make it convenient for them. But they understand, and I love when kids ask questions. What does it mean to Made in America? And you kind of explain how it helps keep somebody working and how it helps, you know, your local and your mom and dad. And it just makes sense. I mean, it's such a simple process.
You know, signage is everything.
Yep.
Signage is everything. And, of course, Mark, I want to compliment you because you did a great job on your site. And the name itself, Made in America Store, says everything. And I would love to see more and more of the stores go out of their way to buy from you, and which I did encourage. But I have to say also that some of them have deals with their merchandisers they can't get out of.
And yeah, that's, you know, we are going to launch that wholesale site. We have the wholesale available right now, but the new site's going to be wholesale/ madeinamericastore.com, which will come out about May 1st. But it's very exciting because, you know, it makes it easier. A lot of people, you know, complain. They said, Mark, it's just too hard to find the products. And I said, you know, we can make it easy for you. And, again, it isn't about just me or my business. Yes, we have to keep the lights on, but this is helping the 400 manufacturers that I write checks to. I love when I write the checks, and I see they're all staying in this country. And 99% are privately owned. They're not publicly traded because legally, you know, publicly traded companies have to answer their shareholders, and it becomes about money. It's not about the principle.
Absolutely. In fact, as we were speaking a few weeks ago with Mayor Ed Pawlowski, the mayor of Allentown, he said that that's what he did. He spent most of his time focusing on ways to bring business back, to rebuild the city, to get people into an area where they feel comfortable. And that's really what America needs. We had enough talk. We worried about the whole world. We have to start worrying about us. Where the green dollars come from to make all the other initiatives possible.
And if you think about it, if you truly think about it, bringing back manufacturing, bringing back what we're talking about, Made in America products, would answer 90% of the problems we're talking about. It would. It would keep people, it'd make, you know, they'd get positive again, more disposable income. more tax, more buying, middle class would grow. You know, that they're the ones that buy your tractors, your extra implements, your restaurants, and you know, need the accounting and the haircuts. It just all makes sense. It's what we've lost. We've made our mistakes. Now we've got to wake up. And it's newer technology. It's not old factories. It's newer technology. It would actually answer most of our problems, our decline of schools in the, you know, our area, your area. It's an answer. You get people to move back into your towns and cities.
You know, when Walt was here a few weeks ago, he said that many of the newer industries are so clean, you could eat off the floors. And everything is done with the latest technology. The problem is we just don't have enough of those places in operation here in the USA. So our ships are coming over. They're weighed all the way down to the bottom of the river. We have to dredge our rivers to make sure that those big liners can get in there. But when they leave, they're so high, it looks like a 20-story building leaving. You know what I'm saying, Larkin?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I can make another suggestion. This one's, you talk about making wild suggestions. If I could go to Washington, I'd go down there, and you know what I'd ask them to do?
We're going to vote for you next time.
Yeah, right. You know what I'd ask them to do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And get it in your heads that the private sector creates jobs. The government and government policy has a tendency to do nothing but get in the way.
Absolutely.
So, I can't agree with you more. When you say that, I always think about that after the show. You know, that they don't produce jobs, but they can cause us issues where we can't keep jobs and create jobs. So, like you said, that's all I asked of them this year. Just get out of my way. Let them try to figure out what each side's doing over there. The average pay is, what, $3 million, I think, the average income for a congressman and, you know, the government. It's amazing.
So they feel as though they just have to do something. The New Jersey legislature ran out of something to do. It was last year, second part of the year. And they argued and finally passed legislation that you must put your dog in a seatbelt if he rides in the car with you.
Yep, yep. It's true.
Yeah, it's a great law.
It's sad. It's sad that we've come to this. Mark, and before we close off, I want to ask you, after you did the movie and you spoke to some of the elected officials, how many of them said to you, Mark, I want to follow up with you?
Yeah, you know, not one, and it reminds me of my father. Now you see my father's old school, and he always asked me, where are the politicians? Where are, you know, they never offer, and I said, you know, I really don't want their help. You know, I've never asked nobody for nothing, but it's true. Actually, none.
Follow up means everything. You can go on a cold call, but the third, fourth, and fifth time you follow up is when you get results, because the person sees that you're sincere and that you do want their business and you want to cooperate with them. But see, that's what I'm saying. We don't have any of that goodwill. In the next couple days or today, if you can, send me some suggestions for Mark, for Rich, and for Larkin, and we will definitely be addressing them. I still have about 10 of them that I have to get to you guys, but we haven't been able to do it because we had many interesting conversations to continue. But that is the end of our broadcast today. Larkin has an announcement.
Well, it's not an announcement. You can't help the poor by destroying the rich. I said that. That's my quote of the day. And by the way, I did not make that up. That came from Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, I agree. I heard that many times, and you're right. And with all of us working together, we will have success. Thanks for spreading the word. Until Saturday at 11 for our variety program, or next Wednesday at 11 right here on 860 AM or on the internet at American Workers Radio. I want to thank Mark Andel, Larkin Connolly for being here today, and thanks for Stephen to giving us those great ads. Until then, I wish you the very best.
Bye, American guys. Have a great week.
The best.